Hey guys, welcome back to The Landing. Today we've got a bit of an NFL special with two of the great NFL gurus and two of my closest friends, Benny and Jano. Benny, how are you?
Good, thanks, Landy. Apart from my golf game this afternoon, I'm doing all right.
Jano?
NFL guru. I like the sound of that. I'm not sure if it's true, but I'll run with it.
All right, so let's get into it. What I wanted to start off with is our reactions to who missed out of the playoffs. So obviously, it's the wild card round this weekend. There's a crap load of games. But let's begin with Raiders Chargers, which was on the Sunday night game their time, which was one of the more bizarre games to watch as a fan. I watched it with my housemates. And first of all, they don't know too much about NFL. So trying to describe like what plays to run and whatnot was what I was trying to go for. But then to explain that both teams get in if they tie, but they miss out if one of them wins, it was just generally just extremely difficult to explain. But as being a Raiders fan, Benny and I had an absolute pearler on that day with Clay Thompson coming back as well. But Benny, give us your thoughts on, first of all, your excitement towards getting through and just this Raiders team as a whole.
Well, watching that game, I've just sort of been pre-programmed as a Raiders fan to be let down. And it just felt like every one of those fourth downs that Justin Herbert was facing was just like a stepping stone to like the ultimate letdown for me. But to come out the other side of it was, yeah, as you said, like a genuine pearler. And the game itself was, you know, completely, you couldn't really ride it. Raiders got up quick and I thought, you know, they had it somewhat under control. But then Raiders did what Raiders do, and it went to overtime. And yeah, I suppose when we kicked that field goal, I was a bit concerned. But then all of a sudden, you find yourself in a genuine situation, which you can't really fathom in most sports, really. Like, yeah, how often you see like a team, two teams, sorry, like in a situation where they go, "Why don't we just shake hands and walk off now?" Like, so from that standpoint, towards that end of overtime there, I just didn't really know how to feel. I had the most weird mix of emotions. But in the end, after, you know, it being a divisional rival and a bit of talk shit from the Chargers earlier on in the season and Staley's antics going for it on fourth down, I was pretty happy to send him packing.
Yeah, definitely. For me, it definitely felt like kind of like a long heavyweight fight where, so in that sense, we're the team on top and we're like getting these knockdowns on our opponents, but they just keep getting up. That's what it felt with those fourth downs. I was just like, surely can you please just stay down, like miss one of those fourth downs. So that was the feel that I got for it. But Jano, for you, so given, obviously, Justin Herbert's got a bunch of media attention this year and obviously he's been an absolute star. Where do you kind of rank this Chargers season, missing out on the playoffs, even though Herbert was fantastic? What are you kind of like, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on the Chargers season is that it was pretty emblematic of, that loss was emblematic of their whole season. They just couldn't stop the run and they couldn't stop it from the start of the season to the end of the season, and eventually caught up to them with Josh Jacobs running for 10 yards and them being able to kick the field goal. I mean, if you're a Chargers fan, you're pretty excited. You've got Justin Herbert, who's an absolute freak. It was 6-for-6 on fourth down for 106 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's just an absolute joke.
Yeah.
And as a neutral fan, watching the game was absolutely awesome. I was desperate for the tie. Twitter would have exploded, and I think everyone watching the NFL would have had absolutely no idea what was going on if it had been a tie and they've both gone through. So I think the Chargers can be relatively pleased, kind of middle to happy with their season. But as long as you've got Herbert for the next 10 to 15 years, I think you're in pretty good stead.
Yeah, definitely. Go on, Benny.
It's one of those situations where it's like, it depends on where you look at the season from. Like a couple of weeks ago, the Chargers have an opportunity they miss multiple fourth down conversions against the Chiefs, and that's to put them in the division lead. And when you're at that point, it's really hard. It must be really hard, obviously, for them to, as the, especially their fan base, to consider not the season, not a failure, given they didn't make the playoffs. But as Jono said, when you've got already probably a top five quarterback in the league at your franchise, it's pretty hard not to at least be feeling good about the future, despite maybe the disappointment of not making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think just final thing with the draw situation and then both making it, if they both tie, I think overall it's probably better for the game that they went for the win, because I feel like if they'd kneeled that final play and just gone for the tie, in regards to just like kind of the competitive spirit, I reckon that's definitely tarnishes that a bit.
In terms of the going for the tie, obviously, you know, it's been well done in the media. Some people are of the belief that the Raiders were going to go for the tie on that third down play there. But when you guys were watching it at the time, you know, Carr didn't line up in the shotgun. So he wasn't going to kneel at that point. So do you think that the Raiders were actually going to run a play that was going to not going to get the first down in that scenario?
Oh, I think they were always going to win, personally.
Yeah, I agree. They were playing, obviously, the whole game to win. And I think whether or not they went for the field goal just depended on whether or not they were within range. And the last Josh Jacobs run put them within range, so they kicked the field goal. And I think everyone crushing Staley, I think that's a bit stiff, because that's what they were always going to do.
Yeah.
Agreed. Moving on. So I just want to quickly touch on the Colts. So they had an awful, awful, awful loss to the Jags. Give us your quick thoughts on that, Jono.
The Colts was definitely a very surprising one. They were considered an absolute lock to make the playoffs, and all they had to do was beat the stinky, stinky Jags, who were 2-14 going into the game. I mean, it was a complete choke job. And frankly, in my opinion, if you don't deserve to make the playoffs, if you're going to put up that kind of performance against the worst team in the league. It seems that the Colts have some sort of hoodoo against the Jags. They've lost the last six games at the Jags. And despite this, the Jags have been horrible the whole time. And it's just baffling that you can kind of be a good playoff team, be in contention and choke like that. But I mean, I think that's ultimately a result of having Carson Wentz as your quarterback.
I feel somewhat contradictory about like the Colts, because as a entire roster, I feel like they're one of the more complete rosters in the NFL. And I do think they give a lot of teams trouble when they're having success running the ball, because I think they're quite capable on the defensive side of the ball as well. But at the same time, I sit there going, I'm quite happy for Carson Wentz to just not be in the playoffs, because he's just not exciting. And, you know, we know what he is. Unfortunately for that franchise, they gave away, they're going to lose their first round pick as well now, based on how many games he played and where they finished. And so I don't know, do you grade that trade as a positive, or what do you think?
I don't personally.
I mean,
did you go, Jono?
From the Colts' perspective, without being too harsh, it is a bit of a disaster. I mean, he played the certain amount of snaps such that it does turn into a first rounder. You're now lumped with a $100+ million contract and a pretty middling quarterback. You're giving up your first rounder and you just lost to the Jags to miss the playoffs. I mean, you can't be too happy with that outcome.
Yeah, dead set. I reckon it's also just frustrating, because you go from 3 weeks ago when the Colts beat the Cardinals and Wentz was decent, pretty sure he threw a couple of touchdowns and just didn't turn the ball over, and then lose two on the trot and you're out of the playoffs. So he probably was looking pretty confident in was it a 4-year deal or 3-year deal that he signed? So I'm not sure if they'll keep that up. But yeah, I think if you're the front office of the Eagles, you're absolutely sitting pretty comfortably. Pretty happy that you got rid of that contract.
I also think there's a bunch of teams that'd be pretty stoked that they're not there, because their run game and offensive line is so good that they would have given some proper teams that don't necessarily have the best run defense some real trouble, despite Wentz. Like, I don't think the Chiefs necessarily probably wanted Jonathan Taylor and that O-line coming at them, although, like, Mahomes versus Carson Wentz is not even a discussion. But, yeah, I think if you're saying, for me, who is the best team that missed the playoffs, roster-wise, it's probably the Colts, but I think maybe who could have done more damage, maybe the Chargers.
Yeah, I reckon I agree with that.
I think to some extent, the Ravens were pretty hard done by as well. I mean, losing Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley was pretty kind of admirable in his wake, and I thought they fought pretty hard. But, I mean, they lost J.K. Dobbins before the season, and then they lost Gus Edwards. So you're down two running backs and you don't have Lamar Jackson when you need him. I think they probably wouldn't have been Super Bowl champions, but they definitely could have made some noise with the fit and firing. Lamar's always a scary proposition.
Yeah, definitely. With health, it's always such a frustrating issue. It's always woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I think, obviously, Lamar Jackson's a bit of a soft spot for me, given I missed him for my playoff in fantasy. But yeah, I think the Ravens will definitely be ready to fire up next year, and hopefully they can get a nice season of health. But yeah, I was so on the Ravens, and obviously they had a couple of times where they went for the win on an away game. So I wonder how far off were they, like, from making the playoffs? Do you guys know?
I think in the end they were eliminated in week 17 or 16. So they weren't even eligible by the time the final week came around.
Okay. Nonetheless, I think that would be very frustrating, hopefully, because I do really love Lamar Jackson. So hopefully he can get a good season of health next year. What are your thoughts on the kind of best team to lose to not make the playoffs, Benny?
Yeah, it's a coin flip probably between the Colts and the Chargers. In the AFC, depends if you want the better quarterback or better roster. In terms of the NFC, maybe, yeah, go on, Jana.
I mean, the Saints were probably the closest, and they had the Eagles not got in, the Saints would have snuck in. So they were probably the closest. Whether or not they were the best team to miss, I mean,
yeah.
If Taysom Hill's your quarterback. I mean, I'm not trying to spend this whole show quarterback bashing, but I mean, there's definitely a direct correlation. And if you've got Taysom Hill as your quarterback and you're paying him $24 million, you miss the playoffs, look at yourself in the mirror, and that's kind of where the answer lies.
Taysom Hill also, I think I saw yesterday or today, he's got a Lisfranc injury anyway, so you would have been looking at Trevor Siemian maybe in the playoffs, which I'm pretty stoked that we're not going to see that. So, you know, it falls away pretty quickly in the AFC, in the NFC, excuse me, despite, you know, having a few good teams at the top of that conference.
Yeah, definitely. So let's move on, boys. So let's get into the matchups. First matchup is Sunday, our time. We've got Raiders at the Bengals. So obviously it's another reason which we didn't touch on was with the Raiders going for the win, they end up facing the Bengals instead of the Chiefs, which is definitely like a massive tick for the Raiders. You'd much prefer playing the Bengals, a nice young and up-and-coming team, but naturally they haven't had much playoff experience. The Raiders haven't had too much either, but you'd still rather play them against compared to the Chiefs. But yeah, Benny, what are your actual emotions towards the game? Are you excited? Because obviously a few years ago when Derek Carr got injured in the final week and missed his playoff chance after his great season, so we haven't really had a proper playoff run. What are your emotions towards the game?
Well, first of all, before I get to the game, I just wanted to sort of touch on this team in general. I think what they've ended up achieving here, whether they win or lose this playoff game, is somewhat remarkable in a sense. Like, you know, you could somewhat argue that some of it was brought on themselves in terms of like bad decisions and maybe bad hiring in terms of personnel. But with Gruden and Ruggs and late in the season, Hobbs was DUI as well. But I think what Carr and Rick Bisaccia have done to sort of continue to keep this group together, I think after Ruggs went down, I think they lost 5 of 6 after that as well. So then to bounce back and finish the season strong, I think like no one kind of would have blamed them if they fell off a cliff and decided that was the end of their season. So the fact that they've just got there is really great, and I think they should be pretty proud of that. But and so that leads me to this game, which I don't really have any expectations for it. I don't expect us to win, but at the same time, I think it's probably the best result for the Raiders. Obviously, you mentioned we could have been playing the Chiefs, who boat raced us twice. But, you know, Zach Taylor's not proven in the playoffs, a young coach. We don't know what he's like. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Raiders don't have too many personnel that are either. But Burrow still is prone to plenty of picks. He's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. And I think as we saw just on the weekend, just gone, the Raiders have actually developed quite a nice pass rush, especially with Max Crosby.
The hungriest boy in Vic.
Yeah, so he's actually the first first defensive end ever to have over 100 quarterback pressures. And I think if the Raiders are able to get a bit of pressure on Burrow, that's going to be a key for them. Because obviously, if he just has time to throw it to any of these wide receivers, which, you know, arguably is the best three-set wide receiver core in the NFL, then he's just probably going to slice and dice us. But I go into it with no hopes of a win, and with all my faith, though, in Derek Carr that he's capable of pulling it out as well.
Definitely. Jano, who do you think, do you reckon the Raiders are a shot?
Well, I wanted to come onto this podcast and say and try and roll Benny up and say they've got absolutely sweet FA chances of making it. And we've got to make sure that Benny's not doing the reverse Moz. He's coming on the podcast, tipping the Bengals. There's no expectation.
Well, I've done a few Bengals pods with him.
Try and work his way to a win. Yeah, originally I was thinking, look, they're not much of a sniffer, but I was looking up some of their stats, some of their yard per play stats, and I was pretty impressed. They were ninth in opponents' yard per play, and you've obviously got a fired up Max Crosby, as you touched on, and 10th in yards per play. So that's pretty balanced offense and defense. One of my concerns for the Raiders and for you boys is that when they played in week 11, the Bengals absolutely torched them 32-13. They spanked them on the bottom via Joe Mixon, who just went nuts. And I think that if you're opening yourself up to Joe Mixon that much, and before we even touch on an airborne Jamar Chase facing Casey Hayward, I think you start to worry whether or not the Raiders are going to be able to put up enough points to keep up with them. But you never know. Funny things happen in the wild card round, and I think the Raiders are definitely somewhat of a chance.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, obviously, looking at the offense, the Bengals were the 7th point in points scored for teams, and then Raiders were 18th, so it's not looking great there. But I also think that doesn't show up on the stat sheet is just what the Raiders have gone through and just generally the emotional kind of power of, like, why not us, or just keep going. Because they've had such a tough run into making the playoffs. I think that can never go, like, that sort of like excitement and kind of cohesion in a group can be so powerful in like going to a playoff game. But obviously the concern is that perhaps they played their playoff game against the Chargers in the final round of the season. So that's always a bit dangerous, but yeah, I'm optimistic. NFL is extremely hard, as we've seen by my landing locks this year. I've been absolutely torched at different times. So I feel like, Whenever I think I know, I really don't.
And I think with the Raiders as well, you know, it might come down to they might be relying on a couple Burrow mistakes, whether they can get a couple of picks or a fumble, a sack fumble and recovery for short yardage. Like, I think if this just becomes a shootout, I think we all know that the Raiders aren't going to be able to hang with the Bengals. They're going to need a bit of luck in that sense. But I do think the fact that Waller is back is a big thing for the Raiders. Even though Hunter Renfrow is borderline uncoverable, the fact that Waller is there as another option for the defense to think about, that also then hopefully opens up the run game a bit for Josh Jacobs. And if they can kind of have a balanced attack, at least it gives us something to cling on to initially. And as you said, stranger things have happened.
Definitely. All right. Let's move on to the next game, and which is also a Sunday game, is Patriots at the Bills. Jano, give us a nice like minute on what you think.
So I'm a big Patriots man, some of you may know, and I think that the model for the Patriots to win the game is what we saw in Week 13, in which there was gale force winds in Buffalo, and the Pats just dominated the line of scrimmage, ran the ball down their throat, and I think Mac Jones threw out four passes. And there's a lot of snow forecast, so it could be a bit of a snowball, and I think it's going to come down to whether or not the Patriots can really establish the run. But Mac Jones is going to be put in positions where he's going to have to make throws and he's not going to have to make mistakes. And it's been pretty bad on the road this year. Unfortunately, he's had six touchdowns, six interceptions for 194 yards. It's not great, but we beat them in Week 13. And I think that if Mac can kind of step up, make one or two throws when he needed and just dominate the run game, I think we're a bit of a sneaky underdog.
Yep. Benny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the game plan's been laid out, hasn't it? And they're going to be able to draw confidence from the fact that they executed that perfectly. I do think that the Bills tried to run the ball too much in that game. I think when you've got Josh Allen at quarterback, it should be try and pass the ball if possible. And if not, I'd honestly be running Josh Allen. That bloke is one of the best running backs as well in the NFL, as well as quarterbacks. And I think that if they can utilize his legs, that might be able to combat that a bit more, because I really didn't think they utilized that enough, especially given the weather back when they played earlier this year. But as Chuck said, I think the Bills got manhandled by the Pats in terms of the run game and down in the trenches. So I think the game plan is very much there for the Pats to be in this game. And it's divisional, so it's going to be close. You know that.
It's interesting. I'm going to go against you guys. I actually looked at the weather in Buffalo just before we recorded this pod. And it actually apparently is meant to be sunny with a nice, warm, -2 degrees. But as we know, who can trust the weather apps? But I just think given, don't get me wrong, Mac Jones has had a great first year. Absolutely love the Patriots. But I think what Josh Allen would have gained from his playoff wins last season, I think the Bills, if the weather is what I read, I think the Bills can comfortably beat them. And I think based on their most recent, because they played again, didn't they? And the Bills won by like a couple of touchdowns. I reckon I have the Bills winning this game, and I'd definitely take the line at -4. Yep. Is that all? Anything else?
Yeah.
No rebuttal.
The only thing I'll add is I'll still be taking the Bills. I just think Mac's proven at least an ability that if Bill can put him in a position where he needs to make 3 to 5 critical throws in the game, I think he's capable of that. And I think their run game is going to be able to take time off the clock, keep Josh Allen off the field. And I think the Bills win. It'll be about where that line is. But I think just through pure game plan execution, the Pats will stay in the game.
Yep. Nice. All right. Moving on. So the Monday game's our time. First game is Eagles at Bucks. Not too much of an interesting game. But first of all, what are your, I just want to get your first thoughts on how Tom Brady keeps doing this. When will it end? It's absolutely just incredible. It's what is he, 44 now, 45? He's just continues just to absolutely sizzle. And whatever you think of like obviously like a big kind of like reason why he was so dominant was at the Patriots was that he had such a good division. But now, like for whatever reason, his playoff run seems to be has opened up quite nicely for Tom Brady and the Bucs. Obviously, they've had a couple of AB did his nuts, but they also had the injury to Godwin. So they're down a few players. But Jano, how does Brady keep doing it?
I mean, to answer your first question, I think Brady will be doing it long after we're gone. He seems to just be traveling at an unrelenting pace. He takes such great care of his body. He was into his plyometrics and all that kind of stuff. But he just takes great care of his body. He doesn't get hit much, and he's just seen every possible defense. So one of the things rookie quarterbacks are always going to struggle with is the defense disguised and the way they'll bring blitzes and the way they'll do kind of various defenses. But because Brady has just seen absolutely every possible type of defense, he can dissect it so quickly and get the ball out before the defense has time to hit him. And it means he stays healthy, and it means he just tortures defenses again and again and again.
Benny?
Well, the answer is he continues to do it with avocado ice cream and vegan diet or whatever he's rocking these days. I continue to be amazed by him. It's impossible not to be. He's just a perfect at his craft. He knows what his strengths and weaknesses are, even though he doesn't really have many weaknesses. But I think that, you know, he's got his quick release. He knows he's pre-snap the best we've ever seen. And, you know, with those two together, and they don't have the weapons we thought they were going to have, but, you know, he could probably go as long as he really wants to.
Yeah. And what's your picks for the game?
Well, I think firstly, just to touch on the injuries, obviously, yeah, AB did do his nuts again, but he's just misunderstood. But Godwin's ACL. Yeah, free AB, he's just misunderstood. But and I've seen enough of these Brady playoff games. So, I mean, obviously they won the Super Bowl last year with Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown and Gronk. But I've seen him win playoff games with guys who played like lacrosse in college and blokes you've never heard of. So I think you'll find that Cyril Grayson will be catching touchdowns. There'll be blokes you've never heard of making massive catches on third down because he just finds a way to get them the ball, and he always finds a way to win no matter what the scenario. And I think that the thinning lineup's going to be testing as they get a bit further into the playoffs. But to be honest, I don't see the Eagles presenting too much of a challenge at this point.
Yep. Benny, your tip on the game?
Bucks easily.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the game that I think will be the best game of the round. The 49ers at the Cowbots. So I've really enjoyed watching both teams this season, to be honest. The Cowboys came out of the gates really strong, eased up a bit, and then had a nice final round. To be honest, I was surprised that Dak played the amount of time in that game that he did. Broke a couple of records and whatnot. But the 49ers, like since maybe like halfway through the season, have just started firing up. And Jimmy Garoppolo's had a few nice drives. And obviously he's been made a Super Bowl before. But I'm very keen for this game. I just think it would just be a very physical game. And I really enjoy it. Like, I think there's just a lot of weapons on the field. But yeah, I think the 49ers win here. What do you think, Jano?
Yeah, I actually agree. I think that, I mean, the first thing that I think of when analysing this game is the difference in coaching ability. You got Kyle Shanahan, the boy genius. He's just absolutely unbelievable in some of his zone run schemes and the way he can incorporate all these players and just be so effective. he doesn't make Jimmy Garoppolo do that much. I think that if Jimmy's, he's got a torn ligament or something's wrong with his finger. And I think that he played through it last week. If he can kind of get a jab and get up for this game, they should be able to get there. And on the other side, you've got Mike McCarthy. He's a bit of a peanut. And I love the Cowboys. I absolutely adore the Cowboys. Zeke and CD and Dak, they're definitely mint, but I think they're going to be a bit outclassed. And I think the 49ers might be able to run all over them. And we'll have to see what Dak's made of. And it should make for a good game. Benny?
I'd like to sit here and give you a nice Skip Bayless and give these Cowboys a bit of a pump up or yell, how about them Cowboys? But I'm actually with you on this one. I think San Francisco win this game. I don't really see a way that the Cowboys are going to be able to stop this run game. And then once the 49ers establish the run game, you know, Jimmy just gets put in positions where he's not asked to do a lot, but he's got playmakers outside him. Debo's been, you know, a Swiss Army knife this year. Just like put him in any spot on he's any position on the field. Honestly, you could put him at defensive end. I'm sure he'd do fine. And George Kittle and stuff like that. And I just think that, as you said, there's a coaching mismatch as well. I think when you combine those two things, that's enough for the 49ers to get the job done.
Yep, agree.
Maybe a touchdown for your man, Brandon Ayukland.
Yeah, no, we
need a touchdown in store for him.
Jeez, he's been so down this year, though. So down. But yeah, I think that's interesting. We're all the 49ers at Jerry World as well. Interesting.
I'd love Jerry Jones to get another one. I'd love to see that in his lifetime. But yeah, I just struggle to say, like, he's had 13 touchdowns, no picks the last 3 weeks, but he played a Philly side that essentially rested their players for the playoffs, knowing they were already in, and torched them. And then he played the Washington football team, who were already out and done for the season, torched them both for 10 touchdowns. And then when they played the Cards last week, even though he was 3 touchdowns, no picks, about 250 yards, they just weren't able to get the job done. And I just think that whether it's McCarthy or maybe it's their run game, Zeke's been a little bit down this year. I just think once they come up against some better opposition, I think that's their downfall.
Yeah, that's worse. And the final game for Monday is Steelers at Chiefs. And the line for this is 12.5. So I don't think we need to spend too much time on it. Obviously, it'd be extremely funny if Big Ben's career just keeps getting extended and somehow he knocks the Chiefs off. But I just don't really think it's too much of a possibility. But might have to put it as my landing lock, so I nicely moz it. But what are your tips? Or do you guys have anything actually? Benny, do you have anything like of importance to say, or do you just want to give a tip?
The only thing that I'll add, and it's got nothing really to do with game analysis because it's just that the Chiefs will win this game. But I'll just be keeping an eye out to see what this Chiefs offense looks like. The Steelers still have a capable defense. TJ Watt, I think he's my clear-cut pick for Defensive Player of the Year, personally. But if as someone that has the Chiefs winning the AFC, which we might get to later, I'll be keeping a close eye on how Mahomes plays and how this Chiefs offense moves because, you know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster and has definitely had its down times this year.
Yep, Jono?
Yeah, I think there's not too much to say. The Chiefs should definitely win. The only thing that I would say in regards to betting it would be I might have a look at the under because, I mean, I'd be relatively confident taking the Chiefs line, but I think they might just save a few things, a few tricks in the bag for potentially next week and they might get up 2-3 touchdowns and just kind of cruise to the line rather than put the foot down and, you know, you could get backdoor covered by the Steelers. But, yeah, might have a look at the under, I think.
Yep. Nice. Yeah, I've got the Chiefs as well, winning comfortably. And the final game for the round is Cardinals at Rams, which is the Tuesday game for us. been an interesting year. No one kind of, so the Cardinals came out, what they started like 10-1, 9-1 or whatever it was. But listening to the American talk shows, none of them backed them in. I think their conversations on that and their hesitations towards kind of like crowning them the best team in the league ended up being quite correct. And they had a few losses at the back end of the year. But still, I think a healthy Kyler Murray is always violently dangerous. Extremely exciting to watch. It's very nice to see Zach Ertz there as well. I'm a big Zach Ertz fan. But yeah, and the Rams are somewhat similar as well. They've kind of got these, they've put all these pieces together and the pressure's on to see if they can finally make it work. I think this is probably the second best game for the round, personally. But yeah, the pressure will be on Matthew Stafford and that deal over the offseason. But I have the Rams winning this one in a close one, maybe like 26-20 or something like this, something like that. What are your thoughts, Jano?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those classic, like similar to Pat's Bills, because they're division rivals. I think it's going to be a relatively close game. As you said, like a fit and firing Kyler Murray can obviously do anything. And I think in the playoffs, they might let him run a bit more. Obviously, during the regular season, you're trying to conserve him, make sure he doesn't get hit or hurt. And obviously, bloke of small stature has to worry about that kind of thing. A bit of a coin flip. I probably think that the Rams might eke out a kind of maybe a 3-point victory. But look, you never know. Close divisional game. We'll see what Kyler has in store. And I think that if he gets up and firing, it'll be a great game to watch.
Yep. Kenny?
For me personally, I think, divisional game, I think will play a part. These teams see each other twice a year. Both have, particularly the Cardinals, I think have a bit of an underrated defense. And despite like Kyler Murray's flashiness and the Cooper Kupp factor and stuff like that on the Rams side, both teams are quite prone, I think, to the really, really bad mistake. Yeah. And I think this one will be, despite the offensive abilities of both sides, I think the defense will actually keep this down a little bit. It'll be a close divisional one. The Rams have actually won, I think, 9 of the last 10 against the Cardinals.
Wow. And
I think just finally, as much as the Cards were hot earlier this year, I'm not a massive Cliff Kingsbury man myself. So I'll also take Sean McVay in that matchup.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, okay for that game. Jana, you got something else?
Yeah, I was just going to add that, I mean, further on kind of the hot start that the Cardinals got to, as you mentioned, I think that since I lost JJ Watt, their defense has suffered a lot, and like no Hopkins is a big loss. I mean, you got, as much as you love Zach Ertz, he's fairly old in the tooth, fairly long in the tooth. I think that Christian Kirk going up against Jalen Ramsey, I think that presents a bit of a problem. But the thing that counters it is Stafford's ability to just throw very stupid picks at any point in the game. So I think that McVay will cook up a nice game plan in which they kind of played relatively safe. But I think if they get behind, then watch out, because it could be Stafford pick six time.
Yep. Awesome, boys. Awesome. All right. And so that's all the games. Let's move into who we think makes the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's hard from here because we've got no results at all. But we've got a rough idea on the pathway that each team would have to take. It's been such a strange season. There hasn't been really many clear favourites. Like, I think most people would have the Packers as the favourite, but even then they've had a few kind of blunders throughout the season, so it's hard to kind of see where they're really at. But I personally have the Packers facing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and I think that would be an absolute ripper. But what do you guys think? Benny?
I've tossed and turned on this one because I don't have the Bucs getting there, and it feels so dirty. Like, just not having Brady in the Super Bowl, it just makes me feel ill. But I've had Chiefs Bucs all year. Actually, I pretty much had Chiefs Bucks all year, and for some reason the seesaw has tipped. I think these injuries have probably tipped me there, and I think I came around to the fact that I think the Packers can get over the hill. LaFleur, he's a good coach, and I have to believe that he's learned from his mistakes in previous playoffs. As much as Brady has Rodgers' number, I think that the Packers are a far more complete team at this point in time. That game in itself, I think that's bound to happen in terms of the NFC Championship game. But yeah, I, as much as I feel disgusting and dirty and sick, I've got the Chiefs and the Packers as well.
Yep. Can I?
I've actually got the Bills on top. I think that because if both the Chiefs and the Bills win, they'll face each other. And I think actually the Bills will get over the Chiefs and then kind of handle whoever they have in the AFC Championship game. On the NFC, it's a bit more difficult. I've got the 49ers upsetting the Packers. I think that was nice. Debo Samuel.
I was battling with the 49ers. I randomly just have a bit of a hunch about them.
Yeah, they feel good, don't they? They feel nice. And so I've got the Bucks knocking off the 49ers, but I've actually vomited when I was doing the playoff predictor and I selected the Bills over the Buccaneers. So I've got them on top, but and if the Bucks do get to the Super Bowl, there's one man in sports you don't bet against. And it's Thomas Brady. So we'll see how that ends up.
Singletary.
And I was having a look at the Super Bowl odds. And so you can get $8 on the Bills to win the chip. And if you're like me and you think that's a good bet, I actually wouldn't take that $8. I'd put your money on the Bills in the first round and I'd just keep on rolling it over again and again and again. And I think you'll get something more like $15 to $20 on the Bills. I think just their defense is playing incredibly well at the moment. They lost their best cornerback and they're still fit and firing. You've got Diggs, you've got Gabriel Davis, Cole Beasley, all these nice number twos, Emmanuel Sanders, and you got Josh Allen, aka White Chocolate. And I think this year could be his year.
Awesome. And what are your boys' pick for MVP? I'll just quickly say, oh Ben, you got something to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say before we moved on, I just wanted to get back to Jano on that one, because you know we've sort of seen a up and down year from Josh Allen. He had this massive coming out party last year. People sort of were a little bit suspect. Was it a little bit too early? And you know they fell at that somewhat final hurdle. But he's had absolute stinkers this year, and the Bills sort of as a roster have been firing, but Josh Allen, are you confident that he's going to be able to play, four or five games, whatever it is, in a row completely without having one of those stinkers that he's sort of been having so throughout this year?
Yeah, I actually am confident. I think despite he's being up and down, I think that you've seen he's gotten better. So even though there's been variance, it's kind of been on the improve again and again. And I think that he's got a great connection with his offensive coordinator. And I think that they're just going to let him fly and they're going to let him run. And I think good luck to anyone who's going to try and stop that, because it's very, very difficult when he's absolutely fit and firing. And so
Cam Newton that can actually throw, if you will.
Yeah, Cam Newton with an absolute hose or someone similar to Michael Vick. And a couple of good bets, actually. I thought the Bills defeating the 49ers in the Super Bowl at 88-1 was a nice little trade. And if you're into the kind of the Belichick, Brady, that kind of stuff, you can get the Bucks to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl at 74-1. Landy, how good would that Super Bowl be?
Oh, that would be fantastic. We might as well do that. Oh, we'll go to MVP first. So interestingly enough, it's between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, the guys that for the last like decade are just still sizzling. Rodgers seems to be the kind of the clear favorite, but you think Rodgers is a lock?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a look at it and I think he's going to win, but I personally think that Brady should win. he's gone from, he's thrown for more yards, 6 more touchdowns. He's vaccinated. It's not an if. I think that kind of really sums it up, doesn't it?
Yep. So Brady for MVP.
Brady for MVP.
Just to give my reasoning, I think that first of all, the Rodgers touchdown interception ratio is just absurd, and I think especially it almost added value to Rodgers' case when we saw Jordan Love play that game that he didn't play. And I think they scored about 10, max 15 points or whatever it was, and had absolutely no offense despite having all their personnel in that game outside of Rodgers. So, you know, he's not asked to pass the ball as much as Brady is. And so he doesn't have those larger numbers, but Brady still hasn't had, in terms of his interceptions, I feel like he's had a few more dumb plays or bad throws this year compared to other years. And, you know, that absolute stinker of a game that he had against New Orleans was probably the nail in the coffin for me.
Yep. Yeah. And just lastly, let's get into some bets. If you guys, to be fair, if you have a couple each, but one that I want to, it hasn't come out yet, the actual market of it, but I've got Tom Brady for overs in rushing yards. I think in a playoff game, he's just much more willing to get on his wheels and absolutely start firing up. So I'd definitely look into the overs for the Tom Brady rushing yards. And another one I had is Leonard Fournette for overs. Obviously, he went absolutely berserk last playoffs. I just also just think, given that Brady has less throwing options, he'll have to look for the run a bit more. And I think Fournette's back this week, and I think he'll be giving it to Fournette a lot. Benny, do you have any?
Just the two from me. My best bet, I think, is San Fran +3. I think the fact that, you know, you can get a push for field goals is absurd. And I think San Fran win this game outright. I really like the matchup for them. And I think there's Dak hasn't been what he was initially at the start of the season, that I need to be too concerned about the quarterback mismatch. So San Fran +3 as my best bet. And then for the delinquents out there, I've got Marcus Mariota, first touchdown scorer in the Raiders versus Bengals game. And so this one doesn't actually have a market out yet. You may have to wait because obviously he's the backup quarterback. And, you know, I think betting companies, for one, they're probably not expecting you to bet on him. But two, they'll, in case of injury, will want to make sure that he's not starting. But the Raiders have been running a ton of short yardage plays where Mario comes in at quarterback and they run the read option with Josh Jacobs. And if the Raiders were to win, were to have the first possession or at least get down into the, you know, within 5 yards of the red zone, you could see Mario to come in. And I'd be surprised if you got anything less than 101-1 for that.
Love it. Jono?
Yeah, I've got about 80, but I'll try and keep it brief. As I said, bet on the Bills this week and just keep on rolling it over. I think that one of the ones that was interesting to me is Jamar Chase, most receiving yards for the playoffs.
Yep.
Because, A, he's just got the capability to go nuclear in any game. And I think that if they can get past the Raiders this week, they'd then face likely the Titans or the Chiefs, both give up yards to receivers, and then you're a bit of a coin flip. You might get the third game, but two big Jamar Chase games could borderline get you home. And I think that represents nice value at $16. Also, Stafford to throw over 1.5 picks because he's very liable to do so at strange times.
Yep. Nice. Well, do you guys have anything else that you want to add before the wild card round, or are we all done? All good?
Sweet. Just win, baby. Sweet.
Yeah, dead set. Go Raiders.
Actually, I'll just add that although I don't think they'd get there, I'd absolutely love the Cowboys to get rolling this playoffs and get to the Super Bowl, just so we can yell, "How about them Cowboys?"
Yeah, we actually badly need that. definitely. But thank you very much for coming on, boys. You both spoke brilliantly. And I'm very keen for the games this weekend. But yeah, thanks for coming on. And there'll be a few more landings coming out soon.
Cheers, Landy.
Thanks, mate.